Why your bank balance doesn't grow even when you work hard. The relationship between money and psychology. The reason bank account balances don't grow isn't just due to a lack of income. It's deeply linked to psychological factors such as emotions, comparison, impatience, and conspicuous consumption. The key to saving money lies not in having more information, but in structuring decision-making around the concept of sufficiency, long-term compound interest, a margin of safety, and freedom from financial constraints. Success in managing money is not determined solely by intelligence or financial knowledge. The ability to control greed, fear, and impatience is crucial. Without a personal standard for determining how much is enough, it is difficult to accumulate assets even as income increases, due to consumption driven by comparison and the desire to show off. Compound interest works not through high short-term returns, but through the ability to stay in the market for a long time and a structure that can withstand losses, even if they aren't mathematically optimal. Choices that provide psychological stability, such as having an emergency fund or a cash cushion, may be advantageous for long-term survival. The greatest value of money lies not in the ability to buy things, but in the freedom to say no to unwanted tasks and to control one's own time. Introduction: Why does my paycheck come in, yet my bank balance stay the same? Many people believe that if they work harder, earn more, and find better investment opportunities, their financial problems will be solved. However, real-life money issues are more complex than simple arithmetic. Even with the same income, some people build wealth, while others are constantly chasing credit card bills and loan payments. The difference often stems not from the amount of knowledge, but from the psychological mindset toward money. Money is just a number, but the people who spend, save, and invest it are human beings with emotions. Therefore, money management is not only a matter of economics, but also of psychology, habits, and philosophy. Rather than covering specific investment opportunities or tax-saving techniques, this article outlines the mindset and behavioral principles necessary to grow your bank balance over the long term. Definitions of key concepts. Concept, meaning why it's important in money management, behavioral finance, a field that studies the emotions, biases, and irrationalities people exhibit when making financial decisions, helps us understand loss aversion, overconfidence, and herd mentality. Sufficiency, a standard for determining the amount of money and level of spending necessary for one's own life, without comparing oneself to others, serves as a baseline for reducing endless desires and conspicuous consumption. Compound interest, a structure where returns are added to the principal and the total, then generates further returns, demonstrates that time and patience are key to building wealth. Margin of safety, cash reserves, low debt, and a flexible plan to weather unexpected situations prevents financial decisions from being derailed by shocks such as market crashes, job loss, or illness. Financial freedom, a state where one can use money to control one's schedule, work, relationships, and the ability to say no. It helps us see the essence of wealth not as consumption, but as the freedom of choice. One, the reason people struggle to save money is often more about emotions than reason. People who manage money well aren't necessarily the smartest. Even with extensive financial knowledge, you can lose your assets if you fail to control greed, fear, pride, or impatience. Conversely, even people with ordinary jobs and incomes can build substantial wealth by practicing consistent saving, disciplined spending, and long-term holding. Ronald Reed of the United States is known for having worked as a gas station attendant and a janitor. Yet through a frugal lifestyle and long-term investing, he left behind an estate worth approximately $8 million after his death. The key to this story is not exceptional genius, but low spending, a long-time horizon, and emotional control. Behavioral finance explains that people repeatedly make the following mistakes. Loss aversion. Even for the same amount of money, people feel the pain of a loss more acutely than the joy of a gain. Hoarding. People buy in late after hearing that others have made money. Overconfidence. Mistaking a few successes for true skill and taking on greater risks. Present bias, valuing today's immediate satisfaction more highly than future stability. Social comparison, spending based on others' perceptions rather than one's own needs. In other words, the first step toward increasing your bank balance isn't learning more complex investment strategies, but observing which emotions drive your spending and buying decisions. 2. If you don't determine how much is enough, the finish line will keep getting further away. Many people say they want to earn more money, but when asked, how much is enough? They can't answer. Without a standard, even as your income rises, your standard of living rises along with it, and you'll keep comparing yourself to people who appear wealthier. Here are the problems that arise when there's no standard for enough. When your salary increases, your spending level rises before your savings rate does. You spend money on things to impress others, rather than on necessities. You take on greater risks, even after you've already earned sufficient returns on your investments. Even as your wealth grows, your anxiety doesn't decrease. Instead, you become more sensitive to the fear of losing it. Enough doesn't mean giving up your desires. Rather, it's a standard for cutting back on less important spending, so you can spend money on what truly matters. Questions to help establish a standard for enough. Question sample, answer, what is my essential monthly living expense? Total of essential expenses, such as housing, food, insurance, and transportation. How many months' worth of living expenses do I need in an emergency fund to feel secure? Typically set within the range of 3 to 12 months' worth of living expenses. Depending on individual circumstances, what am I saving money for? The freedom to quit my job, caring for family, housing stability, preparing to start a business, financial security in retirement. What am I absolutely unwilling to sacrifice in order to earn more? Health, time with family, sleep, ethics, long-term trust. What does the life I want look like when I'm not comparing myself to others? A small but stable home, a flexible schedule, time for learning, travel, etc. Answering these questions transforms money from a vague object of desire into a tool for designing your life. 3. Compound interest is closer to the ability to endure over the long term than to high returns. People often expect short-term investment returns of 10%, 20%, or even 50%. However, the key to long-term wealth building is usually not explosive returns, but rather sustained returns. The power of compound interest grows as time goes on. But for compound interest to work, two conditions must be met. The principal and returns must not be significantly eroded along the way. The investor must not give up midway due to fear or impatience. This is why Warren Buffett's wealth building story is so often cited. He is not only an outstanding investor, but has also remained an investor for an exceptionally long time. The power of long-term investing stems not simply from the ability to pick good stocks, but from the financial structure and psychological patience required to stay in the market. Typical moments when compound interest is undermined situation, how compound interest is undermined prevention principles, excessive leverage risk of forced liquidation or bankruptcy, even with a brief price drop, do not use debt to artificially inflate investment size, insufficient emergency fund. Selling long-term assets at a loss due to unemployment or illness, secure an emergency fund based on living expenses, chasing trends, repeatedly buying after prices rise, and selling after they fall, establish investment principles, and buying criteria in advance, impatient goals, concentrating on high-risk products in an attempt to make a lot of money in the short-term design, a plan that separates the target timeframe from risk tolerance, frequent trading, increased fees, taxes, and emotional decision-making focus on the rationale for holding rather than the number of trades. Compound interest is boring. However, in wealth building, boredom is not a flaw but can be an advantage. 4. Even if not mathematically optimal, a psychologically sustainable choice may be better in personal finance. Rational decisions and sustainable decisions are not always the same. For example, if the interest rate on a loan is higher than the interest rate on a savings account, it may be more profitable, mathematically speaking, to use spare cash to pay off the loan. However, if you use up all your cash, even a minor setback could force you to take out another high-interest loan or sell off your investment assets in a hurry. Cash has a low expected rate of return. However, it serves the following functions. It buys you time in exceptional circumstances, such as job loss, illness, or caring for a family member. It reduces panic selling during market crashes. It allows you to act on good opportunities without resorting to excessive borrowing. It helps you sleep soundly at night. In money management, the important question isn't just, what is the highest rate of return? You must also ask, is this a structure I can sustain until the very end? 5. The greatest value money can buy is control over your time. Not material possessions, people think that becoming wealthy means they can buy better houses, cars, clothes, and vacations. Of course, money broadens your options for spending. However, the most powerful function of money is that it gives you more control over your own time. If you have enough money, you gain the following options. You can quit jobs that harm your health. You can refuse unwanted deals or relationships. You can make time for your family when they need you. You can learn whatever you want to learn. Your life won't fall apart even if your income temporarily drops. From this perspective, financial freedom is not a state of doing nothing. Financial freedom is the choice to not be forced to do things you don't want to do and the ability to allocate your time to what you want to do. 6. When you set aside others' opinions about your spending, your true desires become clear. Much consumption stems not from need, but from a desire to send a signal. Expensive items aren't always a bad thing. The problem arises when you can't distinguish whether an item provides you with actual utility or is merely a cost incurred to gain recognition from others. The following formula is useful for evaluating your spending. My spending others' opinions equals my true choice to determine which purchases provide long-lasting satisfaction. Ask yourself the following questions before buying. Would I still want to buy this even if no one else saw it? Does this purchase free up my time, or does it take it away? What burden am I passing on to my future self by buying this? Is there a way to get similar satisfaction at a lower cost? Would I gain greater satisfaction by spending this money on experiences, learning, health, or relationships? Researchers explain that for money to contribute to happiness, it's important to spend it in ways that enhance experiences, spending on others, saving time, and small daily pleasures, rather than simply on possessions. In other words, the utility of money depends more on how it is spent than on the amount itself. A practical framework for increasing your bank balance, the steps below provide a basic framework that can be applied not only to high-income earners, but also to salaried workers, freelancers, and the self-employed. Step 1. Categorize your spending over the last 3 months by emotion instead of simply dividing your spending into food, transportation, and shopping. Record the emotional reasons behind each expense. Necessity, expenses necessary for daily living recovery. Expenses that helped with health, rest, or rebuilding relationships growth. Expenses that enhanced learning, productivity, or long-term capabilities anxiety. Money spent impulsively to reduce anxiety status. Money spent out of concern for others' opinions reward. Money spent to soothe stress or feelings of deprivation. Categorizing expenses this way makes it clearer which ones to cut back on. Step 2, focus on your savings rate before your savings amount. Savings amounts vary depending on income. However, what matters in the long run is how much you set aside relative to your income. The financial health of someone earning $3,000,001 per month and saving $300,000 is different from that of someone earning $7,000,001 per month and saving $0. The savings rate is calculated as follows. Savings rate equals monthly savings and investment amount divided by monthly after-tax income times 100, rather than aiming for a high savings rate from the start. Increasing it by 3-5 percentage points from your current level is a more sustainable approach. Step 3, build an emergency fund. First, you need a minimum emergency fund before you start investing. While this varies depending on job stability, family obligations, health status, and debt levels, the general approach is to hold several months' worth of essential living expenses in liquid assets. An emergency fund isn't money meant to maximize returns. It's money that helps you make good decisions during tough times. Step 4, write down your investment principles. Documenting the following items before investing can help reduce emotional trading. why you are buying this asset, expected holding period reasons, you can hold the asset, even if the price drops by 20-50% criteria, for buying more or selling maximum percentage, this investment will account for in your total portfolio conditions under which you would determine you were wrong without. Principles, market noise will take their place. Step 5. Distinguish between visible wealth and true wealth. Apparent wealth consists of consumption that is visible to others, such as cars, luxury goods, and large homes. Real wealth is the freedom of choice you retain by not spending. Cash, investment assets, low debt, career flexibility, and healthy relationships enhance the stability of your life, even if they aren't outwardly flashy. Step 6. Translate your financial goals from things to time. For example, you can reframe the goal of saving 10 million won as follows. Secure 6 months' worth of living expenses to reduce the pressure to change jobs. Ensure you can get by for 3 months, even if you have to take time off due to family issues. Reduce excessive overtime and buy time for skill development. Reduce high-interest debt to lower monthly fixed expenses. When financial goals are translated into time and freedom of choice, the purpose of saving becomes clearer. Common financial psychological traps and how to avoid them. Psychological trap, resulting behavior, how to avoid it. Comparing yourself to others, shifting to more expensive spending, even as income increases, set your own standards for enough. And an annual spending limit, fear of loss, hastily selling. Long-term assets during a market downturn, build an emergency fund, diversify assets, and establish predefined sell criteria. Impatience, focusing on short-term, high-return products, divide your time horizon into long-term, medium-term, and short-term reward, spending impulse buying after stress. Implement a 24-hour waiting rule and track your emotions. Overconfidence, increasing investment allocation after a single success. Calculate the maximum potential loss. First, present bias, choosing immediate consumption over future savings, set up automatic transfers. And A, save first, structure on. Payday. Point to note. Saving alone won't solve every problem. Just because financial psychology is important doesn't mean we should ignore structural factors. Low wages, high housing costs, medical expenses, the burden of supporting dependents, and unstable employment are difficult to resolve through individual willpower alone. Therefore, personal financial strategies must consider both of these aspects. Areas you can control: spending habits, savings rate, debt management, investment principles, reducing emotional. Trading areas to expand: increasing income, professional skills, negotiation skills, social safety nets, and understanding the system. Realistic money management isn't just about saving as much as possible. It's about reducing financial leaks, expanding your income base, and building a structure that can withstand risks. Conclusion: wealth is an attitude, before it is a number. The reason your bank balance isn't growing may not simply be that you're earning less. When endless desire, comparison with others, fear of the market, impatience for short-term results, and conspicuous consumption all come into play, even a high income won't translate into lasting wealth. A sound attitude toward money can be summarized in the following points. Set a standard for what constitutes enough. Reduce emotional decision-making. Give compound interest time to work. Maintain a margin of safety. Exchange money for the freedom of time rather than material possessions. Reduce spending driven by the need to impress others. The skill of earning money is important. However, the ability to preserve it and convert it into freedom is even more important. Ultimately, good money management is not a competition to appear more glamorous, but a process of cultivating the quiet power to choose the life you want. This article is intended for general financial education purposes and does not constitute personalized investment, tax, or legal advice. Specific decisions should be based on your own financial situation and risk tolerance, and you should consult a professional if necessary.